Well, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. I'm going to read in verse 1, Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another in love. Be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He's telling us there's something we are to be eager for. Something we are to give attention to. Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word in other versions means protect or guard the unity of the Spirit. As though it's a precious thing. So my son Nathaniel has this precious ducky that he absolutely loves. One of those little loveys he got when he was, he tells me his birthday, Ducky's birthday, was the day Nathaniel was born. We have some debate because it wasn't, but it's okay. We go along with it. But he loves Ducky. I mean, we've finally been able to break him of having to have Ducky everywhere. Now it's just mostly around bedtime or nap time. But it's precious to him. If you ask him, he'll tell you all about his Ducky. All about it. And it's so sad. It was sad. He had to get washed yesterday. And so he was so sad he didn't have him for the nap time. He looks forward and longs to being reunited with Ducky. That's a four-year-old. That's something that's on his level. It is precious to him. And if it's precious to him because he's precious to me, then Ducky's precious to me. Right? Isn't that what love is? I'm sure you all have your own stories of those things with your kids or things that are precious. But he's telling us right here, be eager to keep the unity of the Spirit. Be eager to keep that. What degree do we value unity of the Spirit? It's twofold. There's the individual unity with the Spirit. That's more that vertical relationship between you and the Lord and that unity there. But then there's also this corporate unity of the Spirit as well. If you're here, you are part of Abundant Life Center and this local body where the Lord has called you and planted you. And we're part of a larger body across the world, the body of Christ globally. But we're all part of the same body. Different locations, different languages, different purposes, right? But we're all part of that same body. But how often do we find ourselves so fixated on maybe just the things in our life? You know, what duckies do you have in your life? What things are precious to you? And that's not to say that those things are wrong by any stretch. I don't mean that. But I'm saying, this is what the Lord put on my heart to just keep repeating, which is guard the unity of the Spirit. Guard the unity of the Spirit. Guard, protect the unity of the Spirit. The prosperity of the body is more important than the prosperity of each individual member. Now hear me right. God wants every member to prosper. That's right. Every member. But every member's goal should not be for that own member's prosperity, but for the body's prosperity. Jesus said, if one member causes you to sin, cut it off. Because God wants the body to survive. Because the body of Christ on the earth is his body. And he wants a strong, healthy, prosperous body so we can be about the work he's called us to do and accurately reflect him with whoever encounters the body. In reality, God's principle is simply this. As members of the body seek the welfare of the body, all members will naturally prosper. You don't have to worry about prospering, if your sole focus, if your primary ducky in your life is the prosperity of the body of Christ, God will take care of your prosperity. And he can do a much better job than you can, than I can. And I'm thankful for that. Some of us probably have learned some of those hard lessons. We pursue our own prosperity and we quickly find the end of our own ability, our own strength, our own whatever. The last 2 years especially, how many people who didn't know Christ, or even who did, found themselves verging on depression or misery or uncertainty because all of a sudden their sources of their own prosperity were removed or taken away or questioned. Unexpectedly, this thing called COVID came into the picture. But God doesn't change. God will prosper the members. Your individual prosperity should not be your goal and focus. It is merely just a byproduct of focusing on the body and it prospering. Now notice what it says here in verse 2. With all humility and meekness and patience, bearing with one another in love. What kind of picture does that paint for you about what life's going to be like amidst a body of other people? We have to be very sober-minded about this. Spend enough time around me, I'll give you a reason to walk in long-suffering with me. Not by my intention, but the same's true of you, isn't it? The same can be true of any of us. Now, some who you're around more than others, you ask my wife, she probably has more opportunity to walk in long-suffering with me than you do. But just the fact that she's around me more. But those who are here, if you look around this room, these are the people God has called and planted and purposed here for God's will, for God's purpose, for God's plan, and for God's glory. But it is simply a matter of time, maybe even today, where you will have to walk in love with somebody else here. I'm just stating matter of fact, not trying to project that's going to happen, but that's inevitable. In any family, any group of people, there's more than one person, you will encounter that time where you have to walk in love. People who are married understand that. But I'll tell you this. When you purpose to guard the unity of that marriage, you'll be quick to forgive, quick to ask forgiveness, quick to mend things, because you know it's so much better when there's this than when there's this. You can do a lot more together. Things are always a whole lot better together. Just ask your kids, grandkids. So we have to be very eager, desiring to guard that unity. You know, you think back to the early church. What was going on in the early church right there after the day of Pentecost and that time frame post-crucifixion and resurrection? What was going on in the world at that point? What was pending? What were they on the verge of with disaster and all these persecutions and things that were coming? Does that sound familiar to anybody else? The times that we are living in, I'm not projecting I know. I don't know the time frame or some of these things, but I can pretty much read the writing on the wall. I can see it in Scripture, the direction we're headed, the things that are coming. But you know what? That should have zero impact on how much I already should be eager to guard the unity of the Spirit and the place where God's called me with the people he's called me with. And that should motivate me all the more to be on guard against any offense, against any bitterness, any resentment, any envy, anything that's going to separate between me and you. You know, if I really, even in a selfish way, if I really want to prosper myself, I will do all I can to make sure you are prospering. Because we're all part of the same body. So even in a selfish mentality, it still has at the very core the best interest of those around you, of that body. Guarding, protecting the unity of the body. You have to know where God's called you. You have to know where he's placed you. You have to remain faithful to that, because only there is where the grace of God will be that you need for whatever is needed, including long-suffering. It's the reason it's called long-suffering, not even short-suffering, long-suffering. We have no idea what is coming tomorrow, let alone a month, a year from now, in terms of circumstances. But we do know this: whatever is coming, if we are faithful to guard the unity of the Spirit, this relationship and this relationship, God will take care of everything else that we need. And if my heart is for you to prosper, then I will look at all the resources of my life, my money, my time, my energy, my grace, my strength, whatever it is that I have, whatever God's given me, and I will be fully focused on how I can use that to help you. Not just on me, 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 me. I'm just one member. I'm part of a body. And where one member suffers, the whole body suffers. So if I don't want any member to suffer, but I don't like suffering, I will want to do all I can to ensure the body is healthy and strong and has what it needs. Now you read that there in Acts chapter 2, where it talks about that, around verse 43, 44, 45. They had all things common, and they were sharing things with those as they had need. Am I promoting that into a larger doctrine of things? No. And do you notice it doesn't say the apostles told them they had to sell everything, or God told them, or it was a law? No. They did it of their own initiation. Why? Because they saw other members of their body in need, and they saw that they had what could help meet those needs. And they saw the truth that if the body prospered, they would by default prosper as well as part of that body. What happened to the church? Did it grow like, you know, one person a day, two?
Thousands.
If we really want church growth to occur, I don't mean just our church. Remember, not just thinking about ourselves. If we want to see the body of Christ grow and increase in number, which God says is what he wants, then we should be willing and able to do all that we can. Not to accumulate just stuff for ourselves, to keep for ourselves, but to look at the stuff and the resources that we have and say, God, how do you want to use this to help this body I'm a part of? God, I want so much for XYZ, fill in the blank of any name in here. I want so much for this person to prosper and walk in fulfilling what God's called them to do. There's a grace in them that I need. Each of us needs what is in each other. And we're at various levels of growing and developing in that. But we need to provoke each other unto good works, to love and to good works, as it says in Hebrews. Let's not provoke each other unto bitterness and anger. Let's provoke unto the right things. But we should be provoking one another unto love and good works, unto love and good works, so that the light of the body can shine for the glory of God, so he can prosper. I tried really, really hard to study and write out notes and things. I got like 8 pages here of notes and things to share with you. But the thing the Lord just kept saying was, guard the unity of the Spirit. 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 You know, when you're... anybody here play sports? Or have played sports? Anybody ever here be a goalie? You know, when you're a goalie, you are fiercely defending and protecting that goal to keep out the enemy. Right? How much should we be on our guard to protect, first and foremost, our hearts from anything that would separate or hinder my relationship with you? Or yours with somebody else in the body. Guard that unity. If there is anything you were holding against somebody else, or anything you know they might be holding against you, you just sense some kind of schism between you and somebody else in the body of Christ. You, in terms of your effort to guard it, should do all you can to try and seek and restore it. And it is very grievous at times when, despite your efforts, it can't be, because you can't make them want to restore or fix something. But that is irrelevant. Your job is what God's called you to do. What are you doing? Just do your part. Let God and the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. You know, we make awful Holy Spirits. I've tried, I've been there, and it doesn't ever work out well. You can't be somebody else's Holy Spirit. You are to keep yourself in love. Just because you know something might be true does not give you a license to go around saying it. That's the world's mentality. Well, it's true, or it's how I feel, so I have a right to just say it. No, that's just stupidity and foolishness. And the opposite of love, most times. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love restrains those lips when you want to say something to somebody that's upset you. Love withholds that because love wants that person to prosper. And if that person is in a place where they're not, or in sin, or whatever else, love will do all it can to not be a hindrance for that person to get back to a place in their walk with the Lord where they can once again prosper and be reunited in that unity. I really don't know, and I really hope you're not interpreting this as I'm seeing some kind of problem with our church or our body. I'm not. I don't know what the reason is the Lord has brought this up. So just receive it for what it is. I'm not looking at any of you personally and seeing a problem or a division or anything. I'm just the mouthpiece for what I believe the Lord's put on my heart to share with you. So I, just for some context, just receive that for what it is. Guard the unity of the Spirit. This and this. Guard it and protect it. Boy, I didn't get very far in my notes, and that's okay. The best thing you can do to ensure your personal prosperity is to help the members of the body prosper. Your own prosperity should never be your focus or goal. God will take care of that. You simply obey and love those around you. Back in verse 1 of there, in Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called. You know, this part, the vertical relationship of the unity of the Spirit, is just as important as well. And I love Proverbs, what is it, 18:16. Oh, I love this. It says, a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. A man doesn't make room for his gift. A man's gift from God will make room for you. I can't tell you how many testimonies I have in my own life of that coming to pass. I can't tell you how much that's helped keep me from trying to push down doors that were closed or make something happen in my own ability. I'm just like, Lord, if that's your will, that's where you want me, open the door or close it. Sometimes he closed it abruptly. Sometimes he opened one I didn't know was there. Actually, a lot of times he operated that way. You will never miss out on something if you're following the will of God. And what God's plan, path, his doors for your life are always what are best for you. But we have to be convinced of that. I'll never forget, you might have heard this testimony. I worked at a hospital as an exercise specialist after college and worked in various departments. And it paid a little more than peanuts. Not much, but a little more than peanuts. And somehow, only by God, we were always in the black. You know, God always provided for my wife and I what we needed. So this job opportunity opened up at the hospital, making more money, doing what seemed like more interest to me. I was excited about it. And so I had talked to the guy in HR. Oh, sure, you're higher up and it looks like you can get no problem getting in there. And all excited about it. I'm driving to work one day and realize, oh, I never sought the Lord about this. I'm like, okay, Lord, you ever have this prayer? Lord, this looks really good to me. What do you think? But the bottom line is, Lord, if it's your will, close the door. If it's not, please keep it wide open for me. It looks really good. A day or two later, I get a call from the guy at HR. And he said, I'm sorry, but that job was just given to somebody else by somebody over me. I had no idea. My response was, well, that was fast, Lord. And so I'm kind of wondering in confusion and okay, just wait this out. A few months later, The company downsized, and all the jobs on that tier were eliminated. I wouldn't have had a job. The Lord kept me where he wanted me to be because there were things that were going to happen that I had no idea about. You know, we think we have a lot of smarts when it comes to our ability to plan and structure our lives. When you realize we see only this much, he sees all of this. If we would just remind ourselves of that fact, we wouldn't get so overreacting when things happen when we know we only see this much. COVID hits and all that happened with it, we still only see this much. He still sees all this. That didn't shock or surprise him. And nothing else that's going to come will shock or surprise him. And what will never change is we still only see this much. And he still sees this much. But whose perspective are we trusting in? Whose perspective are we relying on to base our lives? Turn over to John 17. Isn't that all the message I had planned today? That's okay. It's probably better. John 17, Jesus' prayer for his disciples. Now, I preached from here before where there's a certain word that's repeated 6 times in 4 scriptures as a repeated theme about this, and that's the word one. God, that they would be one with you as we are one, that they will be one as we are one, that they would be one as we are one, that they would be one as we are one, that they would be one as we are one. Kind of get the sense of unity, right? One, it means unity. That's what he's wanting for this relationship and for this one. That's his repeated prayer. That there would be oneness for us. But notice verse 23 says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in unity, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Now the first part, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in unity. You're made perfect in unity. You are made perfect in unity. Members are not made perfect apart from the body. You are made perfect only as you take your place in the body. You're made perfect in unity. That word perfect, again, is the same where verse previously where it means to be complete, to mature, to grow up, to come into more of what you're called to do. You will never become perfect or mature or complete outside the body. 100% impossible. You're only made perfect in unity, in the body. All the more, we want to focus on being one in that body. Our pursuit should be unity. The corporate prosperity of the body. And again, the byproduct is each member's personal prosperity. And we talked about that there in Acts 2. How the natural course of what happened in the church after the day of Pentecost was they went like this. In one accord is another phrase that's in Scripture over and over. In one accord, in unity, one. In one accord, in unity, one. Living to please the Lord. Living to use whatever resources they had to help any other member of the body that was in need. Living like this. This was their mentality. No one made them do it. It wasn't a law they had to do. It was what they were motivated or eager to do. They saw a member suffering or in need. I can help them. That was the heartbeat that they had. And because of them being in one accord and in unity, great things happened through them. The Holy Spirit was able to do great and mighty things through the church and through various members. Every member of that body, every member of this body is just as important as every other member. Guard the unity of the Spirit. guard the unity of the Spirit. Protect it. Protect it. Guard it. Protect it. Examine your life. Ask this question. What duckies do I have in my life, Lord? What are things that aren't even morally wrong or bad? And if there are, deal with those. But what are things that I love, I value? What do I do with my time, my energy, my resources? What do you do with it? In pursuit of pleasures or in pursuit of acquiring stuff or material things, which may not be morally wrong at all. But Lord, are those things a distraction? Are those things keeping me from being able to have and guard that unity of the body? Lord, examine my heart. If there is anything that is hindering my perspective from pursuing that unity with you, or that unity and taking my place in the body of Christ, help me. Change me. God wants every member of the body to prosper, but He blesses you to make you a blessing. He told Abram that in the very beginning. Guess what? That hasn't changed. God blesses you to make you a blessing. May we allow God to examine our hearts and just, Lord, may we be eager to guard and protect the unity of the Spirit in our personal relationship with Him and within our corporate relationship with one another. And Lord, when we have those times of needing His patience and long suffering and whatever it is, when He calls upon us to sow or take from our resources that He's given us to be a help to the body or something else in the body to give as there's need, may we release it. May we be willing to use those things for His glory. And as He wills, to strengthen the body. So as we enter back into worship, I just encourage you, just call on the Lord. Lord, examine my heart. I love you. I want to love you more. And I want to love your body more. And I want to take my place and prosper and thrive where you've called me and where you've placed me. And I want to be a blessing as you've blessed me to know how to meet the needs of other members of my body, that the body may prosper for your glory. Oh, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.